What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy?
Still kind of jumbled in my thoughts, to be honest with you. We're getting this out a day after probably the biggest news since the Live Tour becoming a thing.
Maybe even bigger.
Maybe. And obviously, we have full-time jobs outside of this, so we have to wait until after work to be able to record this. But that did give us more time to think about how we actually feel about everything that's going on. So hopefully that gives us a little bit better insight into how we feel about these things and where we think the PGA Tour / Live / DP World Tour is going to be moving forward.
Right. And you know, let's not forget that by the time that we are talking about this, this news had just come down 8 hours ago. So yeah, it's tomorrow for the listener, but for us, it's been 8 hours of this information to try and decipher. So we're going to do our damnedest here. We will talk about the memorial at the back half of the episode, because this just, like, this just came across this afternoon and it has sent everybody in a frenzy. And initially I remember getting the update and being like, okay, piff. I have no idea what the fuck that is. Well, because
no idea what that is.
When you got the message on your phone, it just said PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and PIF announced newly formed commercial entity to unify golf. And I was like, oh, okay. This is okay, like some cool. sort of new golf. I was like, is this some sort of new golf brand? It's actually about time the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour got on the same page. Let me open this article. Let me give it a ye olde read. And then in approximately they make you wait till the second paragraph to, or no, they make you wait until, like, you know, the third sentence where it says the parties have signed an agreement that combines PIF's PIF, that is, golf related commercial businesses and rights in parentheses, including Live Golf. Rick, what was your first reaction after you read that sentence right there and thought to yourself, what the fuck's going on here?
Yes, I mean, I think we got to kind of start it off before we get too far into it, just for anyone who maybe doesn't have the ESPN app, maybe doesn't have the PGA Tour app, maybe you live under a rock. Basically, perhaps, what's happening in a nutshell is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and Live Golf are coming to a mutual agreement to become one entity to help grow the game of golf, which, for those keeping track, was repeatedly declined as an option by Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. And there's been months and years at this point of feud between Monahan and Greg Norman.
Legal feud. It went to the courts.
Yeah. Sorry, 1 second. I gotta close the window. Hopefully that helps a little bit. So legal feud. Clearly no one was on the same page as to where they wanted to go in the future.
Right.
And out of seemingly nowhere, this morning, we all get an update. CNBC breaks it, which I think is a weird news source to break it, but whatever.
Strange, right? Kind of. So, I understand that, like, No, because CBS does the Sunday coverage. Yeah.
Is what I have no idea. Sure. Weird news source to break it, but not super relevant. They break the news that this is happening. Now, none of the PGA Tour players are told about this, which the PGA Tour has repeatedly stated that they're a player-driven league and decisions are made by the players, hence why Rory McIlroy's been so vocal, hence why we have guys like Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas talking for the past 2+ years about how they're loyal to the PGA Tour because of legacy and everything that comes with the PGA Tour. And now, all of a sudden, with seemingly no talks or communication to any of the players on the PGA Tour, the PGA Tour just decides, you know what? We're cool. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Super weird. I'm still waiting to hear if we're going to hear the number, because if one thing has become clear throughout the past 2+ years, I think we're almost coming on 3. If anything has become clear, it's that money drives everything. And there is absolutely no way that this deal that just came out of the blue is not involving some sort of money backed by the LIV Golf Tour and the Saudi Arabians.
Yeah, here's the real kicker, and I kind of want to go back to what you said a couple bits ago. One of the ones that, like, it really burns me up just thinking about it is the fact that all the tour golfers on the PGA Tour found out the same way we found out, either through that notification via ESPN or the PGA Tour app or Twitter. A lot of guys found out via Twitter. Just Colin Morikawa tweeted, "I love finding out morning news on Twitter, and everyone thought yesterday was the longest day in golf." Tyrrell Hatton shared a GIF and said that came out of nowhere of, I don't know who these players are, but it looks like a corner from the Falcons blindsiding a San Francisco receiver. Ryan Whitney, famously of the NHL and then the Barstool podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, who follows golf a lot and also knows a lot of golfers, said, "Imagine turning down $100 million from LIV and your own tour ends up burying you. What a disgrace." Dan Rappaport, now of Foreplay at Barstool, said, "Phil Mickelson on Sunday of the PGA Championship, quote, 'I know some things that others don't,' today," and then the headline. It's maybe a bad time to bring up the Brooks Koepka tweet, but Brooks Koepka went welfare check on Shambly.
Just absolutely bodied.
Just bodies Brandel Shambly in the most brutal way, which is hilarious. But the fact that all of the players found out via Twitter and there wasn't a players meeting or anything like that, it not only bothers me, but I'm sure it bothered the hell out of the players. And they didn't get any sort of better explanation from the official statement that Jay Monahan released. I have that statement here. Quote, "After 2 years of disruption and distraction," well, three, two that they've been in action, "this is a historic day for the game we all know and love. This transformational partnership recognizes the immeasurable strength of the PGA Tour's history, legacy, and pro-competitive model, and combines with it the DP World Tour and LIV, including the team golf concept, to create an organization that will benefit golf's players, commercial and charitable partners, and fans. Going forward, fans can be confident that we will collectively deliver on the promise we've always made to promote competition of the best in the professional golf world, and that we are committed to securing and driving the game's future." That is, almost half of that is the exact opposite that you were saying just a year ago.
Yeah. Not even.
Like, am I going insane, or this makes no, you are backtracking 100%.
Oh yeah.
Of everything you've done so far.
Yeah. I mean, we've made the analogy on the podcast a million times at this point. The PGA Tour takes 2 steps forward and 4 steps back. They took, like you said, they took 100 steps back this time. Like,
oh my God.
You cannot, for the past 2 years, be questioning the morality of where this money's coming from, be so set on, you know what, you guys are absolutely not coming back ever because you ditched us as a tour.
Yeah, you're banned.
We hate you, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And then to just out of nowhere, without consulting any of the PGA Tour professional players, just decide that they're fine again. And, like, don't get me wrong, there's going to be, like, repercussions. They're going to have to pay some fines. They're going to have to earn their way back on. But it's not going to be that much. It's,
I don't really know, not. If they will, man. I really don't know, because here's the thing, and this is why I'm glad you brought it up. There has to be some sort of monetary exchange here. There has to be.
Yeah.
You know, because there were legitimate lawsuits that are, well, now are null and void. They're getting eradicated in the courts. There were specific lawsuits of how much these people hated each other and wanted to steal everything that the other one had. There's got to be some sort of money here. And I'm assuming it's coming from the PIF, FIP, what is it? PIF.
PIF.
Which is the Public Investment Fund. For those of you that don't know, that's the Saudi Arabian government. That's what that is. So there's got to be money here. And also now this, the Saudi government owns golf. That's kind of what's happened here. If
you that's what it seems like. Want to
call a spade a spade, that just is what it is.
Yeah.
And you can make all the comments you want. You can say anything you believe in with how they have operated, the way they live in Saudi Arabia, the way their government acts and stuff like that. And I would be inclined to agree with those opinions. But here's the situation, is that now that they are involved, it really shows how fragile of an organization the PGA Tour must have been for them to have full control of professional golf since the early 1900s, to then let this entity with a shitload of money in 3 years completely own you. And I mean, not just like own you in memes or in jokes or in the media. I'm talking own you financially.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think that the PGA, I thought the PGA Tour was the stronger horse in this race. It wasn't. They got schooled, and they got schooled hard, man. But again, you said it better than most. We're all slaves to money, man. Money talks, and if you have the most of it, you're probably going to get that much farther ahead. It took the LIV Tour 3 years to basically own professional golf.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It really is. And honestly, like, in talking about, like, how the PGA Tour is backtracking on a lot of the stuff they said, let's not forget that during the lawsuit action, stuff like that, I believe this was in last year when he was making these statements, but like Commissioner Jay Monahan pretty much used the 9/11 victims, you know, stories, et cetera, the story of 9/11, to claim that the Saudi LIV project was, quote, nothing more than sports washing of Saudi Arabia's reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Said that out loud. And now here we are. A little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. What atrocities? I haven't heard of them. We're about to move forward into a new era of golf. You know?
Yeah.
What happened here, man? It has to be money, right? There's no way.
There's no way that money's not involved right now. And speaking of lawsuits, I think it's a good time to bring up the fact that there's going to be dozens more, this time from the PGA Tour players.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure by now people have seen this graphic because it's been all over the place. We got some information on how much money some of these guys were offered and subsequently turned down because the PGA Tour told them, hey, we're in this together. We want you here as part of this legacy. Don't leave us.
Think about the loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a list of six golfers here who are offered over $2 billion to go to the LIV Tour, including Tiger Woods for $800 million, which, let's be honest, nothing to him. He's got probably 50 times that. Rory McIlroy, the face of the PGA Tour at this point, $400 million. John Rahm, another face of the PGA Tour, $400 million. Hideki Matsuyama, a face of the PGA Tour from the perspective of Japan, $300 million. And then we have Colin Morikawa and Will Zalatoris, which are two very young, very good players, $100 million each, which, if we're being completely honest, Morikawa got shafted there. He should
get more than $100 million. Yeah, a little bit, right? And won a major. But okay.
But anyway, that's a lot of money. And
that is especially $2.1 billion.
Especially for someone like Rory, who turned down $400 million plus dollars in order to pledge his loyalty to the PGA Tour. And now all of a sudden these guys just get to come back.
Right.
Like, he's going to be pissed, whether he's vocal about it to the media or not. There's going to be a problem with him because there's no way that any PGA Tour player was in on this conversation because that would be the first thing that they would say, I would assume anyway, is, hey, what about all these guys that turned down hundreds of millions of dollars? What are you going to do about them? Because they're not going to be happy about this.
How are they getting reimbursed for committing to the tour that you so desperately told them have loyalty to? We're in this together. We're going to make a brighter future for the PGA Tour. Was this your idea of a brighter future for the PGA Tour? Just
screwing over all of your loyal players?
All of them, man. Like all of the dudes that like for example, Will Zalatoris, especially in hindsight with the injury, having a $100 million guaranteed contract, even when you're injured and rehabbing, you're still making that money.
Yeah.
I would be livid if I was him.
Yeah.
Because he's not getting paydays right now.
Yeah.
He's not golfing.
Exactly.
He's not getting these PGA checks. If he did go over to live, he'd be getting that yearly.
Yeah.
$2.1 billion amongst six guys. It doesn't sound like a little, folks. We get what we're saying. That is more than many, many professional sports payrolls. I think.
Yeah.
All of them, all the professional sports in the Americas, I'm certain, right?
I don't think there's anyone who pays more than $2.1 billion.
Is there a salary cap in the NFL?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the reason that is because they don't want these types of things to happen. They don't want people to monopolize money and basically just buy their way into what they want with professional sports. There's a reason there's salary caps and, you know, salary taxes in professional sports. In America, the Saudis don't have to follow those rules. And up until now, the PGA Tour didn't really have to worry about that because of the way that their payments were structured. It was like, hey, there's this really large sum of money that will be split up to a bunch of you. Not evenly, but how you finish. Everybody understood that concept. Mm-hmm. Everybody was fine with that. You make the cut, you're getting the paycheck.
Yeah.
What the paycheck is completely up to you, right? It's how you play that week. Now, with the LIV Tour introducing guaranteed contracts and guaranteed money, and not how you're performing, but just because of based off of who you were prior to signing a contract, i.e. someone like Bryson DeChambeau, it's something the PGA Tour could have done without bringing the LIV Tour on. And I think they know that. And for those people who are... Because I've seen it on Twitter a little bit, like the people that are trying to, I don't know if they're trying to say that it's not terrible, but it's like they're trying to justify the situation by saying like, oh, the PGA Tour saw what the LIV Tour was doing, liked the product, so they wanted to merge so the PGA Tour could benefit financially. Here's the problem. PGA Tour could have easily taken this concept and done it themselves. It could have been that simple. For them, they had the money. Is it that much money? No, but I think the guys that you convinced to stay loyal to the PGA Tour would have understood that amount of money is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's not technically a nonprofit, by the way. The PGA Tour is technically nonprofit, a nonprofit entity up against a national government. That is an impossible battle to win. I think
you're not going to win
understood
that.
But had you just as the PGA Tour been like, oh, okay, so if they're going to do guaranteed contracts, it looks like our players kind of like the concept of that. How about we negotiate something where we start doing that kind of structure, or at least we have future endeavors to bring on that kind of structure.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that. They could have done that. They didn't have to go this route, you know?
But the one thing that it tells me, well, I guess the second thing, because like I said, money talks, and that's the number one lesson, is take the money. at this point, that's what it feels like. But the second biggest thing I think we can take away from this is that the LIV Tour was figuring something out, because the only way that the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour agree to this is if they're scared that the LIV Tour is about to overtake them as the most popular or the best professional golf tour. That's the only reason that they would have to partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old saying goes, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That's literally what the PGA Tour is doing right now.
Yep.
And it's because they're scared that people were liking the product. And whether that was everybody who's in the same class of type of person that enjoys the Waste Management Phoenix Open or not, that's a lot of people.
It is a lot.
With the growth of the game that happened over COVID and stuff like that, a lot of people that are the type of people that like the Waste Management Phoenix Open, where you can go and you can drink and you can be a degenerate. A lot of those people got into golf, and a lot of those people don't like the preppy PGA Tour style golf. They like the live style golf where people are trash talking. The interviews aren't quite as robotic as they are on the PGA Tour. People are honest with each other. Mm-hmm. They're drinking, like they're like making jokes. They're laughing. Yeah. Like
that's at the kind events, of stuff that, there's music, there's games, there's
that's
there's
the kind of stuff of bars, that a majority of new golfers, which is who we're dealing with at this point, like to see. And the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour probably realized that, got scared, decided, hey, before they destroy us and make us look like fools, how about we just join with them and pretend that it was our idea?
Which is so wild. I mean, you're 100% correct that I think that that is basically what's happening here. They were shooketh, as it were. Their timbers were shivered, which is really wild of a concept to me, especially if you're looking at the numbers on paper. I'm not saying that the Live Tour was failing by any means, because I don't believe they were failing, but
no.
The watch numbers and the revenue numbers just do not add up to the Live Tour catching up to the product that the PGA Tour is. Just it didn't work, or at least it looked like it wasn't working. But I guess this is where it all comes back to what you said out the gate. There had to have been money. There a money exchange involved here, and we will find out, because I think legally that has to be brought to light. Obviously, it's a merger.
Yeah.
But merger, there's a reason that people that work in mergers, usually their job title is in mergers and acquisitions, because usually those two things happen simultaneously. I don't know who's acquiring what. I don't know who is who's going to be the front here, but it's definitely something incredibly interesting. And now, before we get into kind of where are we going to go from here, let's hit the pause button. Let's rewind all the way back so that we have a clear slate as to how we even got here. And then where do we go from here? So from the beginning, Live Tour was founded in 2021, beginning its inaugural season in 2022. Tour was owned by the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, which is the Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund, headed by two-time major champion Greg Norman. He was the CEO and in the face of the league. Why did PGA Tour golfers leave for Liv? Well, guaranteed contracts. It started with Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Cam Smith, and a couple of other people, all making nine-figure guaranteed contracts. Pretty good stuff, if you ask me. Also, there was the shortened season, so there's 47 PGA events in 2023 compared to the 14 scheduled for the LIV Tour. So you have shotgun starts in the LIV Tour as well. You have the days are shorter, you're playing less golf, you're making more money. That makes a lot of sense to people. Now, here's the issue. Why was LIV Golf controversial? And that is because where the money is coming from. Saudi Arabia founded the tour. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has been involved in multiple controversies, including human rights violations of his own people, the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and the government's alleged involvement in the September 11th attacks on the United States. The ethics of players taking money from the country has been debated endlessly since players started defecting. You know, Rory and Tiger were both very outspoken about this, and a lot of guys were outspoken about this, about how they don't appreciate where the money's coming from. They don't respect it, so they're not going to join it, which is, you know, everybody's perfectly on right. And, you know, Jay Monahan also fully condemned Live Golf and discouraged players from taking the money, which makes this merger seem like a full-blown sellout, which it is. And according to the agreement, the PIF, quote, will contribute a significant financial investment toward minority equity ownership of a new collectively held for-profit LLC, which means that for the first time in the PGA Tour's history, they will be a for-profit LLC instead of a non-profit like they were.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, completely screws over the amateur scene. You know, the whole concept of you got to come up through the Q school, you got to go the Korn Ferry Tour route, you got to earn your card, completely screws that up. Because the reason they were able to have a distinction between amateurs and professionals is because professionals worked for a nonprofit, so they weren't able to participate in amateur events, and vice versa. An amateur had to be considered a professional to work for this nonprofit. That is all completely out the window. I have no idea what's going to happen with the poor guys on the Corn Ferry Tour or some of these guys coming out of college. I have no idea, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But to answer some more questions, what happens with those PGA and LIV lawsuits? I think there was like 11 of them. So they are all pending litigation between the parties. And it looks like all those cases have been officially, I don't know if the word is annulled, but basically null and void. All those lawsuits have been put to rest by both parties, and no longer is anybody being sued. So here's another quote here from the official statement that was on PGAtour.com. Quote, the three organizations will work cooperatively and in good faith to establish a fair and objective process for any players who desire to reapply for a membership with the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour following the completion of the 2023 season and for determining fair criteria in terms of readmission consistent with each tour's policies. Basically, these guys, if you are on the tour, you're probably getting your tour card back. That's just how it is. However, a couple of the guys on the LIV Tour were Corn Ferry guys, so I don't think those guys are going to get their tour cards back. But and now here we are. This is where we have found ourselves. We are basically looking up. We're basically looking at a situation where it's all going to be one now. Like I'm trying to wrap my head around what this structure is going to look like. Are there still going to be three leagues? Or is there just going to be one golf league that's international?
Yeah, it's going to be the next few weeks, I think, are going to be really interesting as we get more information on how this new league and organization is going to look. But you bring up a good point about if it's still going to be three leagues or if it's going to be one giant league kind of thing. And I do want to ask you what you think about the potential for it to just end up being one large league. And something that we haven't talked about in a few weeks, kind of resurfacing with these guys that were loyal to the PGA Tour and those guys leaving.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about if Rory McIlroy, who was the scapegoat, I guess you could say, for the PGA Tour, basically, they just made him say everything they wanted to say and then said, we don't care about you anymore. There was an idea. Sound a little bit like Sam Jackson here. The Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy were in on.
Yep.
Their little league thing that they wanted to do.
Yep.
What do you think the odds are that guys like Rory, who got screwed over by the PGA Tour, just fully commit to this Tiger and Rory league? And now we're again split up and we have all of these guys that got screwed over by the PGA Tour on this league with Tiger and Rory, and they just go full in on it. Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy turned down a combined $1.2 billion for this tour. They have the money that they could just fully invest in this little thing that they're doing and probably take care of all these guys.
That is a fantastic question, I have to say. Here's the only part, though, that I just feel like we can't ignore is that was like solely for stadium audiences. I think it's an indoor situation made for TV kind of deal. Yeah. I don't know how many true golfers you could convince to do that full time. Because half the fun of golf is being outside, being at these gorgeous courses, seeing them physically, playing the greens, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but
I don't know how many you could convince.
It doesn't necessarily have to still be that, though.
That's fair.
If they decided they were just going to still do that stadium series that they wanted to do, mm-hmm. but also add in outdoor events and do tournaments like this and kind of do their own thing. It's probably super outlandish. I have a lot of ideas that never happen.
I don't think it's as outlandish as you think.
But like, I don't see, like, there is a world, if we want to keep talking about Avengers here, there's a world in the multiverse where Tiger and Rory just start their own golf league.
Yeah.
And do pretty much what the PGA Tour is doing right now. Mm-hmm. And they do nonprofit, they get sponsors, they get all that stuff. And all these guys that were loyal to the PGA Tour no longer want to be a part of this big LLC that's happening, and they go play for Tiger and Rory.
Yeah. I mean, I could realistically see them trying that, for, or at least maybe we'll never know, but I guarantee you that's a topic that's been brought up, you know?
I mean, you're
right. They have that kind of money. They have the investment from many large figures in the world of sports, et cetera. They have the backing. They have the financing. They could probably easily get the sponsorships to continue the cash flow.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know. Me personally, if I'm in Rory's situation, you're not doing, like, what the PGA Tour just did. You're not doing that to me again. Away with it. There's going to be,
I know,
it's going to be a very hard next few months for you if this is what you just did to me.
I mean, he was literally the tour's mouthpiece, right? Like, the man did everything the tour told him to do. Said all the right things, did all the right stuff, won the tour championship.
Uh-huh.
And just to get immensely screwed over like this. And now, but here's a question for you, whether, you know, maybe he didn't get screwed over. What if there's a situation where all of the other players didn't know anything except for Rory McIlroy?
He would probably become the most hated
person. Enemy number one.
Like,
here's the problem, and here's what I know is going to happen. I know we haven't gotten an official statement yet, but he is playing at the RBC on Thursday, at least as of right now.
Yeah.
He's going to get asked.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically him. I mean, everybody's going to get asked, sure, but everybody's going to have their ears wide open when Rory McIlroy gets media time. Hopefully he does. But they're going to ask him, hey, did you know that this was going down before finding out via social media? And even if he says no, it's going to be very interesting to hear him basically explain his way out of his pure fiery distaste of what the LIV Tour was. Because if he's the kind of guy that the PGA Tour has shaped him out to be, which is this 100% loyalist, will do whatever it takes to bring honor and integrity to the PGA Tour, and is their, you know, mainstay biggest guy out there other than Tiger. The PGA Tour is going to want him to say certain things, and if we read and or hear his statement and it sounds like it was a cue card given to him the night before, he might still be public enemy number one.
Yeah.
If you're going to look those guys that you play with week in and week out, who stuck to the PGA Tour, who stuck to the format of golf the PGA Tour was doing and didn't
because
take
you
guaranteed
told them
money
to.
Because you told them to, and then you go and turn around and piss on their leg like that? No. That's not gonna go well with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, it's going to be – the next few weeks are going to be get your popcorn ready.
I've never been so excited for an RBC Heritage in my life.
Yeah. It's gonna
and I'm
be,
not even excited for the golf.
Yeah, it's gonna be very
media,
interesting,
man. Oh yeah,
to see what happens. And speaking of grab your popcorn, I just wanted to mention this real quick. We did get confirmation from Chad Mum, who I guess is in on the production of Full Swing. That
I think he was one of the photographers.
That they were filming when these players found out about this news, and I'm gonna be honest, that might be one of the most anticipated TV show airings ever at this point.
I mean,
for people that follow golf,
yeah,
like that thing's gonna, like, there's a chance that whatever streaming service it's on, what is it on again?
Netflix.
There's a chance that Netflix just crashes the day that this show comes out, because
everyone's
going to be glued to seeing people's reactions if we don't get any more information beforehand, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, I gotta be honest with you. So Full Swing is the way that it was filmed, and the people that were filming it, the documentary, the style it was, is a exact, not replica, obviously, because it's two separate types of sports, but it was done the same way and with the same people that did another Netflix docu-series called Drive to Survive, which is Formula One. I love that show. I know nothing about Formula One. I don't watch Formula One. I really don't care about it. I love that show. So you probably are going to have people that really don't care about golf who love this show.
It's drama.
Who liked season one enough.
It's drama. People like drama. Whether people admit that they like it or not, people love drama as long as they're not involved.
And boy, am I one of those people. I'm bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Bitches, if bitches love drama, I am bitches. That is
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I am right in it the entire way.
It's awesome. I'm so excited to see these reactions eventually. I did see another tweet. I can't say who it was because I don't know, but the person said, literally just said, great time to make a movie about two different golf leagues. Because of that, what is it, the Adam Sandler movie?
Yes, the Will Ferrell show.
The Will Ferrell one, yeah.
Movie, yeah, so whatever it's gonna be.
Yeah, they were like, great time to make a movie about two rival golf leagues.
Now that there aren't any rival golf leagues because they all joined together. Oh my gosh. You know, also just as a side note here, I can't let this go not talked about. Rick, that transition. That was professional. That was
what transition?
The talking about popcorn. I gotta tell you, that was.
Well, I mean, what can I say? I listen to a lot of podcasts. I kind of pick some things up, you know.
Just woo wee. But yeah, so the Full Swing documentary is going to be.
Oh, it's gonna be fire.
Wholly insane, right? It's gonna be one of those things where you. It's going to be must-watch television. It has to be. Because they're halfway. We're two majors in, man. We're the halfway mark of the PGA Tour season.
Yeah.
Everybody was in their rhythm. All the good golfers are back pretty much full-time now. All the guys are in their full swing mode, as it were. And they have cameras on them pretty much all the time. And let's not forget, there. You know, in that show, there was those specific segments where there was – filmmakers and interviewers, etc., in the golfers' homes. You can't tell me that just today of all days they weren't in one guy's house.
Those people knew before anybody.
I hope they did. I hope they're like, you're gonna do what?
Some random tip came in from an unknown source that said, make sure you're filming at whatever time CNBC news is on, because shit's about to go down.
It is about to get real. All right. Well, I mean, here we are, right? We're currently living in a world where now the separation between the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and the DP World Tour no longer exists. They are now one combined entity who is going to be sharing their money equally. What do you think is next? It looks like in the statement here, they did make sure to mention that the team aspect is going to be sticking around, if not be their main focus going forward. Do we see the PGA Tour turn into LIV Golf and the PGA Tour basically hoping everyone forgot about it?
I honestly, I think that's 100% where we're going. Mm-hmm. Two things. Hopefully I remember the second thing by the time I finish talking about the first thing. Joel Damon is the man. Did you see his tweet earlier?
No.
He tweeted something along the lines of, I've been a fan of Four Aces since I was a kid. I hope I get a chance to play for them on the PGA Tour at some point. So shout out Joel Damon for being the man. I don't remember my second point, unfortunately, so we're just gonna have to forget about that one. But if I remember it, then I'll say it.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you that definitely has to be the route they're going. Now, do I think that they're going to keep the team names? Absolutely not. I think that might be where the PGA Tour puts their foot down.
I remembered the other point.
Oh, what'd you get?
It was more just like a comment regarding what you said about pooling their money together. It almost feels like a group project. And the LIV Tour is doing all of the work financially.
Oh, yeah.
And the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour are just like, here, have my name on the front page of the presentation. while you do all of the work.
Project. Go ahead, Liv. Take her away.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it feels like. Sorry, I just had to make that point real quick, because that's what that feels like to me.
No, that's a fantastic analogy, because that is basically what's happening here. The fact that it's just the fact that you can see the writing on the wall, right? In like,
yeah,
in 3 to 5 years time, this is probably how the PGA Tour is going to look. You're getting DP World Tour guys, PGA Tour guys, and LIV Tour guys. They're probably going to end up taking the top 100, maybe more, of that. And that's now professional golf, right? And from that, you're going to get teams. And then from the, it's going to be an international golf tour, basically hitting pretty much all major cities in the world. There's probably going to be about 20 events, maybe less. And that's what golf's going to be. We're going to look back on what we know golf as of right now as all history. Majors might not exist anymore. Major championships might not exist anymore. The Masters might not get played anymore.
Mm-hmm.
These are these are the kind of things where you have to really take a step back and wonder if what we know about professional golf, what we've come to watch, what we've come to love about it, is going to be completely forgotten. And it's going to be moved forward into this LIV Tour situation, which it's a cool concept, yes, but I kind of liked that it was separate, you know?
Yeah.
That this new concept isn't the only golf we have. The golf that we have always had was still around. Now I really can't see a situation where the PIF governor, Yasir Al-Rumayyan, and the Saudi Arabian government let the PGA Tour go untouched. I'd feel like this is just how it's going to go, because they're pretty much in control of the money. And when you're in control of the money, you're in control of the funding of an organization, you control the organization, because it wouldn't exist without what you have.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is everyone knows and everyone acknowledges the fact that as professional sports and time goes on, things have to change in order for growth to keep happening.
Yeah.
Part of the reason that the WWE split up and is now the WWF and something else, I don't know. There's two wrestling leagues now.
Oh, yeah, there's the WWE and everything, which is crazy. Or whatever,
They have a draft for that, which is crazy. But like, WWE was becoming less popular. They needed something new. They needed something to reinvigorate the sport. And honestly, I don't know if it's done, because I don't pay that much attention to wrestling. But it was something new. The PGA Tour knew that they needed to make a change. But they pushed it off for so long that now it's just exploded. It's like pushing off a clogged pipe in your house. Like, you take care of it sooner, it's not as big of a mess.
Right. And if
you let it go for a while, you say, I'll get to it. It's no big deal. No one's really even noticing that it's clogged, whatever. There's a huge mess. And that's where we're at right now. There's just this massive, massive amount of shit coming out of this clogged pipe. And no one knows how to understand it, because there's so much information that we don't know that we can't even say like certain things, because it's all speculation still.
Everything speculation. We like we said, people, this dropped 8 hours ago. All we know is what has been said in this statement and what some good sources in golf media have said. That's really all we have to go off of here. We really have no idea where they plan on taking golf in the future. We have no idea what their plans are moving. And, you know, what a strange, strange time we live in at this point. Yeah. You know, just what a weird course of events that these two entities who hated each other to the point of suing one another.
Yeah.
Have just up and agreed to become one entity. Now, what really it doesn't shock me by any means, but the DP World Tour being a part of this, makes me think that this is the PIF's bid and basically victory of owning professional golf, basically.
Yeah.
Because if this was just between the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour, we'd be probably having a different conversation a little bit here. We'd probably just be saying the PGA Tour just fucking sold out.
Yeah.
But the fact that the DP World Tour also sold out,
yeah,
and that they both agreed means the money's huge, and the the PIF and the Saudis have that kind of money.
Yeah.
It's just insane to me.
It is.
Absolutely incredibly insane. And so obviously Rick and I have the opinion that basically the PGA Tour is going to turn into the LIV Tour moving forward here. But what do you think is next for a lot of these players, as far as like, do you think that there's going to be enough players that are going to cause enough of an uproar to start something else like the Tiger and Rory thing that you alluded to earlier? Do you think there's going to be enough backing from enough, no, like enough well-known players to create something?
Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, like we just said, this is all speculation at this point. We have no idea what's even going to happen in the next 2 days, let alone what's going to happen in the future of the whole PGA Tour or whatever this organization is being called. We have no idea. I don't think that there's going to be enough people that aren't willing to sell out, unfortunately, because money talks, and that's what it comes down to. Everybody wants money, they want comfortability in their life, and that money brings that no matter where you're at
all the time. Money runs the world. I think we've all known this for a very long time, but we always kind of hoped that the things that we looked for to escape the realities that we currently live in wouldn't stoop as low. The bad news is that they all are run by money. Whoever has the most money pretty much owns it all. And we've seen this exact group, this this independent fund publicly from the Saudi Arabians, take over multiple different sports. They're currently trying to do it in world soccer. Cristiano Ronaldo, incredibly famous soccer player, might be considered one of the best of all time, now plays for the capital city in Saudi Arabia's team, and they're bringing on another world-class player, soccer Hall of Famer in Benzema, who currently plays at wherever in Spain. But now he's going to be playing in Saudi Arabia, and they're planning on bringing in all of the world's best soccer players to play in their Super League in Saudi Arabia. They're trying to do this all over the planet as far as sports are concerned. And golf just looks like it's going to be another one of those examples.
Yeah, so, I mean,
I don't know, man.
It's a lot to unpack. We're still waiting on a lot of information. Next week, we're going to have a lot more to say because we're going to have a lot more information. But two quick points to wrap up this conversation, because I think at this point we'll just be talking in circles if we keep going.
Right.
Two big points. Money talks. Always take the money. And the worst thing to come out of this is we again will have to deal with Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed.
Yep, they're both returning. Just when you thought that you got rid of them.
Those are the two points to take away. Money talks, always take the money. Two is they're an infection. Like you can't get rid of them.
They're back. It's, you know, it's right when you thought you didn't have to take the antibiotics anymore, and you get another flare up. You know, it's just. This is pretty much bad news bears for the PGA Tour, but we can just watch the golf and accept what we get to witness this season, and then hopefully tackle this in the off season and see what goes on. But as for this next coming week, we're going to have a lot more to talk about because we're going to have media time with a lot of these professionals who are going to be impacted, a lot of them being impacted in some of the worst ways, i.e. Rory McIlroy, that is if he doesn't withdraw from this event. So we'll see. And then we'll also see who withdraws from this event and kind of look at those guys and be like, okay, well, like what's next for you?
Yeah.
Plan on moving forward with this? Or are you going to go really commit to that? Really go commit to that sales degree you got, you know?
Yeah.
How much are you really going to get involved there? So this next week is actually probably going to be even crazier than today was. And today has been insane, but
yeah. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday, keep an eye on your updates for today, because a lot of stuff is probably going to come out either the night we're recording this or the next morning, because mm-hmm. there is a players meeting on Tuesday night that was called by Jay Monahan to just kind of bring everyone in for questions and stuff like that, which I think is a horrible idea, by the way.
Oh, horrendous idea.
Just a terrible idea on his part. But
just
that is happening. So there's going to be more news breaking tonight as in Tuesday night or tomorrow. So just keep an eye out for that.
Dude, how dumb could you? First of all, you're not going to tell anybody, and then you're going to do it, and then you're going to call the meeting.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe you had your head in the right place and you just missed your scheduling a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, did you have that that meeting set for 9 p.m. and the statement released to be at 6 p.m., right? No. No. You had the backwards. You did the statement first and players meeting. Okay. Yeah. That's
good. That's good.
All right. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Remind me when you can to get a new secretary. Okay. We're just going to.
Because you're done.
Because you're just so fired. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy week. And I'm really interested to see how that goes. But obviously, please go follow us at. From the tips underscore pod and at FTT underscore pod. Check the story on Instagram, because we're gonna be on the socials tomorrow.
We'll keep trying to figure out.
Yeah. Check the retweets, check the stories. We're gonna be trying to keep up with any of the paces that come forward here. But now is pretty much a good time as any to go ahead and hear from some of our partners. Hey guys, we're just going to take an aside here to hear from our partners. First up is ShankItGolf.com. Go ahead and visit their website. They got all sorts of things for you. They got golf towels, golf polos, stuff to mark your balls. They got all sorts of hats. They have everything that you're going to need to look your best on the golf course and feel your best on the golf course. Go ahead and at checkout, use code FTT15 for 15% off your order. You're not only helping yourself save money, but you're helping us get a little bit of that scratch on the side so we can bring you the best content that we can. Again, go ahead and check out shankitgolf.com for all your golf apparel needs. If you haven't heard before, Dr. John Murray is now a Titleist performance expert. That's right, he is someone who can help improve your body's swing connection. His medical background plus his Titleist certification can help you improve your golf game however you want. You want to have less pain? Dr. Murray can help. You want to create longevity in your career? He can help. Sick of getting out driven by your buddies? He can do that too. Check out Dr. John Murray at jmurraytpi on Instagram or reach out to him via email at jmurraytpi@gmail.com. Once again, that's jmurraytpi and jmurraytpi@gmail.com. I've already gone to him for my first screening. It went so well. I really felt like we identified some of the negative portions of my golf swing. I've already started doing my stretches to improve my golf game, and I'm interested to see how that translates into my second session. Go ahead and check him out on those platforms I listed already. He's great. He's great at what he does. All right, back to the episode. All right, and we're back. Whole first half, probably more than first half, honestly.
Probably like 90%.
First three quarters or four fifths of the podcast was talking about that, which is funny because I had none of that ready at about noon today. I had an entire episode written out, and then here we are with this news, and I had to redo everything that I had prepped. But we are going to touch on some of the PGA golf that did happen, as we did have the Memorial tournament, which is Jack's Place, as it's always referred to, et cetera, et cetera. It's a great tournament. A lot of good guys golf there. And the golf at this event was actually pretty damn good. I do like a good event where the winning score is a 7 under or something less like that. That usually means that the course was pretty tough. And I'll tell you, the course did not look any tougher than it did on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked impossible to play. You had guys from all over the leaderboard. Like you had world number one, Scottie Scheffler, struggling a little bit. You had Rory McIlroy, who was full blown in contention at 6 under, finishing at 3 under.
54 hole lead, notably.
54 hole lead. You had these skilled all pro golfers struggling so mightily with this course. John Rahm, a consensus world number one in tandem with Scottie Scheffler, finishes tournament even, and that was top 25.
Yeah.
This was a major level difficulty for a golf course. And I did some digging as to why. And apparently, according, especially to one of the ones that I truly believe is Denny McCarthy, who wound up in second, was, you know, had one hell of a Sunday, went into the playoff with Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland ended up beating him in the one hole. But he said that apparently the greens were basically ice. You would go to like tap down your ball mark and your putter would slip. It was like that fast of a green. So it was basically impossible to putt on or impossible to get yourself a decent second putt, right?
Yeah, you got to be throwing darts.
You got to be throwing nothing but darts, and you got to be making those first putts, because if you don't make that first putt, that second putt back is not going to be any better, if not worse. So that had them basically plagued all of Sunday. So that's what made Sunday really fun to watch. I think we're always in agreement that we kind of like seeing these professionals get worked by a golf course every now and then. Makes us feel better about ourselves at least a little bit. But hey, like I said, Victor Hovland, your winner of the Memorial tournament there. I feel like he's been very quiet, but also very prevalent. And here's why. Here's his last 25 starts. You ready for this?
Yeah.
One missed cut. One. 18 top 25s. 9 of those top 25s being top 10s. 2 of those top 10s being wins.
Not bad.
That is an insane 25 stretch right there. It's not Scottie Scheffler wild, because we know that that's something you just can't touch. But like, this is not like just your normal PGA Tour pro. And I know you're not a huge Victor guy. I get that. But like, somebody's got to talk about this. The last 25 starts, you got one missed cut and 18 top 25s, 9 of which were top 10.
Yeah.
That's an insane stretch of golf.
It's not that I'm not a huge Victor fan. I do feel bad for the guy, because of course it had to be one of the happiest guys on tour getting a win overshadowed by this news that broke on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Had like a day to celebrate, and then he had to deal with all of this the next day. I do feel bad for him in that sense. And I'm happy for him that he got the win, because I feel like a lot of the times he's near the top of the leaderboard on Friday or Saturday, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't end up going the right way for him. Right. Obviously, he's still getting his good finishes, like you just said, but you want more wins.
You do. You want more wins. You want more, consistency there. But like, man, what a wild time to like win a tournament, right? What, like, can you go out and celebrate now that like the entire golf world is crumbling around you?
Yeah.
But I feel like we had to talk about, you know, Crown Vic getting it done. That's just that picture, a hell of a stretch there for sure. Props Denny McCarthy too, had a great Sunday when it looked like everybody else was forgetting how to play golf. That was one heck of a performance from him. I think he almost had the best round of the day. I believe the best round of the day was Scottie Scheffler, as it usually winds up being. who Scottie ended up finishing solo third at 6 under. This is a pretty cool top five here. 1 Victor Hovland, 2 Denny McCarthy, 3 Scottie Scheffler, 4 Siwoo Kim, 5 Jordan Spieth, and Putnam, Andrew Putnam. That's a pretty cool top five. I like that top five.
You know what I'm picturing for Victor's win? What's going on right now? You know that meme of the dog that's sitting in the burning building?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing.
This is fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, having the best stretch of golf in his career, and then boom, wheels fall off the entire time.
That's just where I picture Victor right now, just in the burning buildings. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Dude, that's just how wild does that have to be, man? Just like literally, if you look at the data golf, so this is the best stretch of his career, playing the best golf of his life. His short game, which he's famously laughably bad, was helping him all day long on Sunday and the entire tournament. And then this happens right after. It's just an insane happening, and it kind of sucks for Victor Hovland in a way. Nobody's feeling worse, though, than the guy that we've been talking about this entire time, Rory McIlroy. My man had a share of the lead on Sunday, had a 54-hole lead. Basically crumbled like a house of cards and wound up finishing at 3 under when he started the day, at 6 under, and finishing T7. And then this happens. You start feeling bad for him, right? That's just brutal. That's brutal. Yeah. There's not much more that you could say about that. Having a Sunday where you looked good all week, you looked really great on Saturday, you have the lead, you're going into Sunday. The course is going to be tough, but you look like you're up for the challenge, and then not only do you crumble, but then you basically, your whole golf world crumbles a couple days later.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough for Rory. We should probably do a welfare check on Rory.
Somebody should do a welfare check.
Brandel's fine. We should definitely check on Rory, though.
Brandel Chamblee is definitely not fine, but I feel like
he's definitely, the pictures I've seen of him, he's not fine, but
my man Brandel Chamblee is going through it right now. He's going through it. There are going to be a lot of golf analysts and journalists not getting sleep for the next 24 hours, 48 hours or so. Man, and the craziest thing about this Memorial Tournament is it was good golf. It was a really good tournament to watch. It had solid golf all the way around. You had a playoff, which is always great. The course was tough on a Sunday, which is what you like to see. It just gets, the fact that it gets overshadowed by something like this is just incredibly unfortunate, because it's a great event, especially because it's Memorial. They have a bunch of that money goes to different types of charities, depending on who the Memorial is for that year. Jack Nicklaus is always very good at that. You know, it's such a cool event. And for it to get overshadowed by this BS basically is incredibly unfortunate, but you know, here we are. This is the kind of golf world that we live in right now. Another little cool story here about Victor Hovland. Do you know what he did the day after he won millions of dollars and had a nice little playoff win there on Sunday?
Didn't he caddy for one of his buddies or something?
Yeah, he caddied for his buddy in a U.S. Open qualifier. Carried the bag, all 18. What a dude, man. Could you imagine turning around after winning millions of dollars to golf and your friend being like, hey, man, mind carrying my bag? I'm trying to qualify for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be in on it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
let's get you in so we can play together. Yeah,
like, if you have, like, good buddies, this is pretty much a normal thing to do. It's just kind of cool that, you know, a professional athlete and, like, a young and up-and-coming star like that is still grounded enough to, like, get a text from his buddy and he'd be like, yeah, I'll carry your bag.
Yeah,
I do imagine that he was asked like maybe like a couple months ago or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
And there wasn't it wasn't like he wins the tournament and his buddy goes, hey, man, how you doing? Nice win.
Congrats on the win.
Question for you.
Are you busy?
You busy tomorrow? You doing anything in town? No? Did you catch a flight? Perhaps. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's a cool thing, man. And to kind of wrap up before we get into the power rankings here and wrap up the episode, one funny little story in golf here that thankfully doesn't have anything to do with what's going on with this. Golfer JB Holmes, who I believe is mostly on the DP World Tour, he decided to go ahead and do this this apparently pretty big money amateur scramble tournament. and did it as John Bradley, his first and last name, and quickly got found out who he was. It makes you, like, if you're a professional golfer, why bother, right? Just play scramble with your boys. You don't have to join a big money tournament. You play for big money every week, my guy.
Yeah, but you lose every week because you're not a big name guy.
It's incredibly fair. It's incredibly fair.
Probably just did it for the confidence boost, to be honest.
Yeah, because just go into this amateur tournament, just some fucking smoking them.
Yeah, just
wreck them. My God. Yeah, that would. Yeah, it's got to be nice. That's got to be nice. It does. But he ended up getting found out and the team ended up getting disqualified. He didn't lose his card or anything like that. Just kind of like one of those, hey, don't do that again. Kind of thing. Yeah. Just a no. All righty. So keep moving forward here and to get wrapped up with this episode, we have the power rankings for the impending RBC Heritage Tournament. So here we go, Rick. You know the rules. I'm going to give you the top five guys, no specific order. You got to put them in an order. Let's also remember, by the way, folks, these power rankings were done prior to the news dropping. So take this as you will. All right, Rick, here's your top five in no specific order. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, and Corey Connors.
I think Rory's probably not playing, but I feel like he's probably at the top of the power rankings.
Very good.
After I'm going to go Rose 5, Connors 4, Hatton 3. Who's the other one?
Fitzpatrick, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick 2, Rory 1.
Oh, dude, you had the end caps. When you said Rory 1, then you went Justin Rose 5, I was like, oh my God, he might just do it.
Are we going for the second one?
Oh my God. No, but it was Justin Rose 5, Matt Fitzpatrick 4, Corey Connors 3, Tyrrell Hatton 2, Rory McIlroy 1. Let's remember, folks, this is before the news dropped. I don't think even Rob Bolton could have been like, yep, number one right now. He's not rattled even a little bit.
I don't know about Rory, but.
But all right, let's find out why Rob thinks this is what it looks like. Number five, prominently positioned on the short list of veteran ball strikers, Justin Rose, for whom Oakdale will reward. What's more, the 42-year-old is having a tremendous season to climb to 28th in the official world golf rankings, four straight top 25s upon arrival. T9, T12 in his last two appearances. That's huge. I mean, those appearances are huge.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was 42. J-Rose is getting old, man.
Yeah, he's a little old.
Yeah, it is what it is. He can still play, though. That man's still a stick. T9, T12 in his last two and doing it effectively amongst these kids out there. It's the way to get it done. Number four, Matt Fitzpatrick. If not for an opening 76 Memorial, what could have been? He placed T9 in five shots outside the playoff. Both champion Victor Hovland and runner-up Denny McCarthy carded 71 in round one. Objective is to say, stay hot for U.S. Open title defense. Yeah, Matty Fitz, if he didn't just have that tough first day at the Memorial, he would have been in the mix, if not carrying that victory away. So definitely got to be on watch for the way he's been golfing recently, too. Number three, the Canadian Wonderboy himself, Corey Connors. As Canada's top-ranked talent at 29th in the official world golf ranks, expectations are highest for him to end the drought for a native to win the national championship. With his profile as a preeminent ball striker on an unfamiliar track, it's fair. Yeah, it would be cool for Corey Connors to get a win on Canadian soil. That would be cool. He's definitely the guy I'm rooting for just for that alone, just to be the first Canadian to win at Canada. That'd be pretty cool.
Parade.
Oh, my God. Would love a golf parade. Give me that. Need that. I might debate going if it was like in Toronto. I could drive to Toronto. Number two, Tyrrell Hatton, owner of one of the highest floors at the moment. He sandwiched a pair of 2-5s into five straight top 20s since Harbour Town, and it was inside 3 months ago when the Brit was T4 second from a Bay Hill to TPC Sawgrass. Tyrrell Hatton, we've pretty much always known in his career he's the roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, so
the highs are high, the lows are low.
Lows are real low for your board tier, old man. Oh, I love him too because he's got that fiery personality. But man, the lows are incredibly low for your boy. Unfortunate to say the least. Number one, Rory McIlroy. The two-time defending champion will be attempting to do something others before him couldn't, which makes the pursuit even more intriguing amid hiccups, T7s in his last two starts at Oak Hill and Muirfield Village. And again, like we said, it's this wasn't out before the news, or it was out before the news broke. So obviously, I don't think anybody would be assuming that our boy Rory is going to go winning this tournament. If he does, however, that's a whole
that's a statement.
That's a statement right there. Actually, tell me it wouldn't get you fired up for Rory McIlroy to go out there and just give a big old fuck you to J-Mod and Live Tour, everybody involved.
I would love for him to actually flip them off.
That would be even better. I would like it physically and verbally during the media time too. And with his golf game. If he just goes and like buries them in the media on Thursday and then just throws darts all weekend and gets a win, he would be that guy. He'd have that dog. That dude. If he goes ahead and does that. Now, unfortunately, our expectation, as we've talked about already tonight, is that he's going to withdraw. Because that's kind of been the thing he's been doing recently, which we still haven't gotten to the bottom of. There are way too many dots connecting that he might have known something was up.
The other withdrawals from the events, I was just thinking.
Just that. From events and like the designated events at that, which was the tour's response to the Live Tour.
Yeah.
Him not explaining why he was there. There are too many dots being connected right now that he didn't know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Rory, man, don't make me not like you. I don't want you to be the villain. I really don't. I wanted you to get the career grand slam. If you wind up just being the supervillain in this whole thing after being the face of the PGA Tour, that's going to suck. That's going to
be wild.
I'm not going to lie to you. All righty, folks. However, as always, thank you so much for listening. We always appreciate it. We're about to embark on over 1,500 listens from you guys. That is going to be awesome when we reach that number. Just again, we immensely appreciate that you guys every week listen. I'm sorry, not 15, I mean 2500. I'm sorry to forget 1,000 of you, that's on me. But we are about to eclipse 2500 listens, and we can't thank you enough for hitting play week in and week out. But what you could do, and what we would appreciate immensely, is if all you people that have hit play on these episodes went to Instagram and hit follow on @FromTheTips_pod, and also went to Twitter and hit follow @FTT_pod. Follow us, follow what we do. We have a couple things in the works as far as content to bring you this summer. We've already talked about the tour that we're going to do in Florida, where we're going to get together with the Hack Across America guys. We're going to be doing a bunch of content down there, probably some interviews, maybe some video content. There's going to be stuff coming out this summer, and the best way to stay tuned with that is via our social medias. So go ahead and follow Instagram @FromTheTips_pod and Twitter @FTT_pod. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.